So I'm going to do something a little bit different than I usually do for a homily today, because that first reading kind of drives me nuts that we heard from Acts of the Apostles, because it's not the full reading. We're getting little snippets of this reading. We're not actually getting the full thing, and I want to go through the full thing, the full reading of it, of this episode from Acts of the Apostles, because I think this can tell us so much about our church today. This is speaking about the early church, but I can think it can tell us something about it today. So I'm going to go through this from the Bible. Unfortunately, my Bible has shrunk in size, so I need to take off my glasses every once in a while to read this thing. I think I put it through the wash. That's why it shrunk, the lettering. It's not because I got old or anything. So it's, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. All the believers used to gather in Solomon's colonnade, and no one dared join them. This is important. We're going to come back to this often. This is an illustration of what Solomon's colonnade would have looked like. This is a part of the temple structure. Here you have a model of what the temple would have looked like in Jesus's time. And so all those areas right along the outside where the columns are, those are colonnades. And one of them is what was known as Solomon's colonnade. And so the disciples used to gather there, just all the believers, it says. It wasn't everyone, it was just the believers, and they would gather there, and the apostles, Peter, would teach. Now, just to give you a bit of context, this episode, you know, right now we're 2 weeks after Easter, so we read this and we think, oh, this must be just right after Easter. No, this is probably about 2 years after Easter. 2 years after the Holy Spirit came upon Peter at Pentecost and he went out and preached and everybody understood in their own language. This is 2 years later. And now the believers are gathering in this section of the temple. And they'd go under there because it'd be shady, it would be out of the sun. And it was comfortable enough and that's where they would gather. And no one dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Now, it goes on to say, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. People brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. That his shadow would fall on them. It revokes that. There's an episode in Luke's gospel where Jesus is walking along and people would just want to touch his cloak because they would feel like that would bring them healing if they just could touch his cloak. It's sort of the same thing. If only Peter's shadow falls on them, they can find healing. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. So basically what's happening at this point, 2 years after the resurrection, 2 years after the episode we heard in the gospel today, where Jesus meets them on the side of the lake, 2 years later, now they're just gathering amongst themselves. They're healing the sick. And because of the healing of the sick, there's a few people joining them. But they're really just meeting amongst themselves. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. So even though they're sort of not really, they're just healing the sick and gathering amongst themselves, they're not bothering anybody. The high priests and the Sadducees, they're getting upset, they're getting jealous. And so they decide to put them in jail overnight. It's going to be overnight because the next day would be their trial. And they're doing this despite the fact that all they're doing is healing people and and gathering amongst themselves. They're being persecuted, even though they're not. They're just minding their own business and healing people. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." The angel frees them from jail, takes them out of jail, and tells them, "Go into the middle of the go into the courts of the temple. Go into the main parts of the temple. Don't stay on one of the sides, hidden away under, you know, comfortable under the shade, just talking amongst yourselves." This is the angel of the Lord says, "Go into the courts and preach the good news of eternal life, the full message of this new life." The angel is saving them from prison, but is also saying, "You've been saved. You've been saved by Jesus. This is the new life that has been given to you. Go out and preach it. Don't just stay in your comfortable little area. Go out and preach it." 2 years after Pentecost, when they burst out of the room and had to go spread this news to the world, 2 years later, they're just assembled amongst themselves, doing some good work, and just meeting in their little group. They've become an insider's club. And a couple of people join, probably because of the healing, but people are joining, but it's become this insider's club because they're not doing what the Holy Spirit was given them for the main purpose why they were given the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. They're not out preaching. They're not out proclaiming this new life that has been given to them. They leaked. The Holy Spirit leaked out of them. The Holy Spirit leaked out of these apostles who met the resurrected Jesus on the shore of Lake Tiberias, these apostles who lived day after day with Jesus, who were given the promise that with the Holy Spirit, you will do greater things than I've been able to do. Jesus said that to them. With the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to do greater things than I've been able to do. They get that Holy Spirit at Pentecost and it leaks. And 2 years later, they're just a group of insiders, like any other sect of Judaism, like I will say, like the church has become today. This group of insiders doing some good work. And a couple of people join here and there, but really tending to the insiders, meeting just the insiders. Not doing what the Holy Spirit was given for the purpose for which the Holy Spirit was given them. The Holy Spirit leaks out of the apostles who met Jesus. Why do we think the Holy Spirit is a one-shot deal for us? That, you know, we got it at our confirmation or baptism, or maybe at Pentecost we get this infusion of the Holy Spirit and that's it, and the rest of the time we don't need it. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to constantly go to the Holy Spirit. So now I'm just going to continue reading this. At daybreak, the apostles entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. So they finally do what the angel has been asked them to do. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin. It's the Supreme Court. The full assembly of the elders of Israel and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would become of this. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing at the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officials and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. When you do what God asks, God provides. God's going to figure out a way for things to happen. They were not taken by force. They were not beaten right there and taken in to and hauled off because they were preaching this new life in Jesus Christ. And the people were responding to this preaching. And so they couldn't just haul them off. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. In Jesus' name. That's what they're preaching. That's who they preach. That's who they heal through. It's in Jesus' name. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. He said, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Well, it was the high priest and the council that sent Jesus off to Pilate to be put to death. So the blood it's on all of us, but it's on them in particular. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than men. We have to do God's will before we do what we want. You know, what feels good, what makes it easier for us. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. So Peter is saying that they're responsible. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. So that repentance and that forgiveness of sins, that's offered to the high priests as well, to all of Israel, Peter is saying. It's offered to everyone who put Jesus to death. Even if you did that, repentance and forgiveness of sins is offered to you. We are witnesses to this thing, to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, this is the council. They were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. So they want to talk amongst themselves. And Gamaliel, who is in Judaism a very, very important figure, a teacher of the law and a commentator on the law, and some of, you know, his decisions, his interpretations of the law are still how Judaism is lived out, how the law is interpreted for Jews today. So Gamaliel is a hugely important figure. And St. Paul studied under Gamaliel. St. Paul was a Pharisee, studied under this great teacher of the law before he converted and became Christian. Then he addressed them, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody. About 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census. So right around when Jesus was born, this Judas the Galilean appeared and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Those are wise words. Do you really want to find yourselves fighting against God? And I think we should ask ourselves that same question sometimes. I think in adhering to our little preferences and peccadilloes and our little ways of being, we sometimes find ourselves going against God, going against his Holy Spirit. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So back then, if we're going to let you go, but we'll give you a flogging, you know, 40 lashes, and then we'll send you on your way. That's how they let people go back then, I guess. I don't know. That's weird. But anyway, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. For the name. Doing all this in the name of Jesus. Bringing people to an encounter with Jesus. Letting Jesus transform their lives. And day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ, is the Messiah, is the one who has the power to forgive sins and give us eternal life. I think there are three takeaways that we can get from this reading that are for our us today. Number one, we are called to announce the good news. The church is not meant to be an insider's club. It exists to share the good news. It's actually it's the only organization that exists not for itself, but for everyone who is not part of it. The church does not exist for you and me. It exists for those people who are not here today. The good news that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, forgives sins, and gives us not only eternal life sometime in the future, but gives us fullness of life now. That's the good news that needs to be shared. The second takeaway is we need to obey God and not men. When we are overly concerned with what other people are going to think, we shouldn't really offend anybody else if we talk about Jesus. We might offend somebody. The apostles, when they started preaching the good news, that's when people started to rally around them and didn't want them to be taken away by the Sanhedrin. When they were just minding their own business and just treating their insiders and maybe healing a few people, we can do with them or without them. But when they actually start going out and doing God's will, preaching the good news, that's when people actually rally around them. People respond. And the third thing is that we need the Holy Spirit. Pentecost happened once 2,000 years ago, but it is available to us each and every day. Every moment we can call on the Holy Spirit. We can ask to be filled. We leak. We leak just like the apostles leak. That Holy Spirit leaks out of us constantly, and we need to be constantly refilled with that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is what gives us the boldness to do these things. What gives us the joy in actually doing it. It's not a burden. It becomes this joyful thing to share the good news. To be able to talk about how God has changed our lives, how Jesus has made my life better. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to call on Jesus' name. And that name has power. That name heals people. That name casts out evil. That name transforms lives. That's who we are as Christians. This is what we are called to be as Christians. Living this fullness of life joyfully in the Holy Spirit. We need to think about this. We need to. This is an incredible shift in our mindset that needs to happen. Because too often, we just tend to be a little club for insiders. But that's not who we are. That's not why we exist. And when we do that, not only are we going against God, and we're listening to men rather than God, But we are actually setting ourselves up for failure, setting ourselves up for even more persecution in the world. Because that's when the world has no need for us and can get rid of us as easily as anything else. But when we joyfully go out and proclaim the good news, people respond. St. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless, Lord, until they rest in you." People long for this. People long for fullness of life, for the forgiveness of sins that can come through Jesus. In a few weeks, it's going to be Pentecost. We're going to celebrate the Holy Spirit, but it can't be just a once a year thing. We need the Holy Spirit all the time. So right now, I'm just going to pray, ask the Holy Spirit to come. Lord, you know that I do not always obey you, that I have not followed your commands to love you and love my neighbor the way I should. But Lord, I need your Spirit. I need your Holy Spirit, Lord, so please fill me. Send your Holy Spirit upon me. Send your Holy Spirit upon my brothers and sisters here. Send that Spirit upon us, Lord. Lord, help us. Help us to believe in your name, in the power that your name has, in the power to heal, to bind up wounds, to cast out evil. Help us to proclaim the good news. Help us to not be so inward looking, but to look for opportunities to share that name, that powerful name, with the people in our lives. Lord, we ask all of this in your holy name. Amen.